Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. Let's get straight to the docket. First, Mark Means is at it again. Second, another theory developing in the Murdaugh matter. Third, Michael Avenatti has his sentencing on Friday. A horrible case in Georgia. Any chance you know this guy? And then finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. If you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button as well as that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we put up new content or go live. Remember, tonight is Tuesday. That means we go live at 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Please join us. We're going to have a great show. All right, first on the docket today, Mark Means is at it again. Do you recall that we were supposed to have a hearing that was set by Mark Means in the Lori Vallow matter on last week, July 1st. I do. We were all ready to go, ready to bring it to you live. And then what happened? It was suddenly vacated. And guess what? The judge entered an order, and we finally get it because things are a little bit delayed because I'm not sure why in today's age of electronic filing, it should go up automatically. But that same day, it was set for 10 at 10:58. The court said, upon the request of defense counsel, Mark Means, the status conference scheduled for July 1 is vacated and will be reset at a later date. Well, first of all, your client's not competent to proceed, so I'm not really sure there's any way for the case to move forward. Duh. Second of all, even if you're going to set something, have the hearing. If it was important enough to set, it was important enough to go forward. Now the question becomes, could the hearing have been set for the show cause as it relates to H. Daybell? That's right, Mrs. Heather Daybell, hereinafter referred to as H. Daybell, to show cause why she should not be held in contempt for failure to comply with a lawfully served subpoena. As you may recall, Mark Means served just about everybody with a subpoena asking for every kind of communication in any form, capacity to turn it over, basically regarding anyone in this case, as well as communications that they may have had with the police or district attorney. Apparently, nobody's responding to Mr. Means' subpoenas and nobody is producing anything. Mark Means also served a very similar subpoena on behalf of Melanie Gibbs, and she has not complied either. So, if it's important enough to go through all this trouble for a show cause, you should have your ducks in a row saying, let's get her served with the subpoena to show up at the hearing. You want to send them to jail, you would think you'd be ready to go to make them produce these documents. Or perhaps there are no documents and you've been notified of that, but yet you persist in doing this. We would hope that these individuals, Ms. Gibb and Ms. Vallow, would get an attorney and they could file a motion to quash and say, this is just unduly burdensome, and it's really not related to the facts of this particular case, trying to get impeachment evidence. You can't subpoena documents. I know this sounds weird, but you've heard of you can't go on a fishing expedition. You can only subpoena documents that you know exist. You can't go after documents, say, produce everything that may be out there, only if you know that they exist. Otherwise, it's a fishing expedition, and sanctions could be imposed against you. Now, Mark Means also filed a motion to transfer trial. Now, in any jurisdiction where I filed this, this would not be sufficient in which to get a hearing. It just simply says a fair trial cannot be had, and this is in violation of the 6th and 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution, as well as the applicable constitutional provisions in Idaho. And then he says there'll be further evidence and file a brief later on. Really? This was kind of your chance to do that. That was filed on June 28th. When you are moving for a change of venue because you cannot receive a fair trial, it is the person asking for the change of venue to have the burden to go forward with the evidence. And here, there's been nothing presented. A judge could easily argue, and I'm sure the prosecution may argue, that there's been no evidence to even get forward here to have a hearing, because blanket statements that there is some sort of inability to obtain a fair and impartial jury is not enough to carry the day. So yes, that's right. Once again, Mark Means is at it again. Next on the docket, that's right, we have a follow-up on the Murdaugh case down in South Carolina. Maggie Murdaugh and her son Paul were both found deceased on June 7th, the victim of a homicide. And a lot of weird twists, and we've kind of brought this to you, the location of the cell phone, vehicles being seized, but not other vehicles, papers being found that are opening up an old case with apparently some new evidence of a hit and run with somebody involved in that. Well, now even one of the theories that is apparently being put out there by apparently the police and news organizations was that apparently there was some trouble with the Maggie and Alex Murdaugh marriage, Alex being the father of Paul and husband to Maggie. Now, the report doesn't specify precisely what the source of the purported marital conflict in fact was, but let's face it, you've got grown kids, you've been married a long time, you know, the honeymoon may be over, right? The marital bliss isn't there. So I'm a little skeptical of this. I would think if you were going to have something done to your family, and I'm not saying Mr. Alex Murdaugh did anything to his wife and son, but it wouldn't seem to make a whole lot of sense there. So we're bringing you the facts as they come in, but you're going to have to judge that for yourself and make up your mind. I just doesn't seem like a plausible theory, but once again, as more information becomes available, we will be more than happy to correct or change our thinking. We're giving you the best advice we have based upon the information that we have at this time. Next on the docket, Michael Avenatti. Remember him? Wasn't he like America's attorney or something like that? I think he's the attorney that gives all attorneys in America a bad name. He tried to extort Nike. He was found guilty of trying to extort millions and millions of dollars from Nike because he had some $15 million in debt. And how convenient. If you can squeak out a few million dollars from Nike, they'll never notice, right? That's just chump change to them. No, it's against the law. The jury agreed. The prosecution is arguing that Mr. Avenatti received a very substantial sentence. And in a pre-sentence investigation report in the federal system, the probation officer the people that prepare the reports that go to the judge really work for the judge. And so they give a recommendation to the judge. And in this particular case, the probation proposed an 8-year sentence, which is below the 11 and a half to 14 year guideline range where Mr. Avenatti guidelines out. Now, as you can imagine, Mr. Avenatti, through his attorneys, are stating that the sentence should be much less. In fact, they're asking for no greater than 6 months in prison. And what they're really arguing for is they're saying, hey, Mr. Avenatti has suffered greatly. His fall from grace came crashing down. The whole world was there to see it. He still faces criminal prosecution in California for allegedly stealing clients' funds. He has a criminal case in the Southern District of New York in federal court where he allegedly embezzled funds from his famous client, Stormy Daniels. And he also has obviously bar-related issues with the California State Bar. Not good. So basically, Avenatti's attorneys are saying, hey, he's got all these other troubles going on. Cut him a break. We'll see where this comes out. I don't think the judge is going to give him 6 months. I think it's going to be closer to what is recommended by the probation department. The arrogance in which Mr. Avenatti went around basically trying to extort these people gives really the entire profession a bad rap. And I think the judge is not going to take too kindly to that situation. The court would probably also say that Mr. Avenatti was a very skilled trial attorney, but he got in over his head and he got greedy. But just because you get in over your head doesn't mean that you can steal other people's money. Now, before the judge has sentencing, the judge also wrote an order denying a motion for a new trial made by Mr. Avenatti. Mr. Avenatti claimed that there was a witness that testified, and she would have testified to more information, but for she was scared of the Clinton effect, i.e. she thought that maybe something bad was going to happen to her. The judge dismissed that argument, saying the defense had the opportunity to cross-examine this witness at trial, chose not to do so, and so now you can't come back and say you weren't given the opportunity to have a fair trial. That's what I keep trying to tell everybody. You only get one shot at the trial court level, and you got to go all in. You can't withhold stuff. Yes, there's tactical decisions to be made, but you have to go all in, because if you don't raise it at trial, it's waived on appeal. Remember that. If you don't raise it at trial or you don't object to it at trial, it's waived on appeal. Next on the docket, a horrible case in Georgia. All right, the woman in this particular case is a female. Her name was Rosanna Delgado. Now, she was 37-year-old, mother of two, and she was basically being an Uber driver to make some additional money. Well, she basically disappeared, and her husband became very, very concerned. And ultimately, through her phone, they were able to track her phone to a house in Decatur, Georgia. Well, when the police arrived, they found a bloody mask. That led to a storage unit and finally to a rural cabin in Cherry Log, which is located in Georgia. Now, before her death, Ms. Delgado was reportedly seen on surveillance footage shopping with the passengers that she picked up. The woman was 30-year-old Megan Cologne of Stone Mountain, Georgia, and she was taken into custody in Mexico back in mid-May. The four suspects initially named in the case were Ayala Rodriguez, Oscar Manuel Garcia, Mario Alberto Barbosa Juarez. The police are still searching for three additional suspects, including Barbosa Juarez, Carolina Rodriguez Ramirez, and Maria Chavez. Now, Calvin Harvard, he's 28, who was the first arrest in the case, was charged with tampering with evidence and theft by receiving stolen property after police discovered he was in possession of Delgado's car when it was stolen. Now, here's the scary part. Ms. Delgado was doing her job as a rideshare driver. Someone took advantage of her good nature. And what did it get her? It ultimately got her deceased by unnatural causes, and yes, dismembered. That's right, then burned. That's what these individuals allegedly did to her. It really happened, but we have to say allegedly because they haven't been convicted yet, okay? She was being trusting and forthright with these individuals, and they took advantage of her good nature, probably because she was a, you know, married mother of two, trying to make a few extra bucks, and thought, if I'm nice to these guys and help them basically shop with them, maybe they'll throw me a few extra bucks as a tip. And that's what it got her, deceased. Be so careful out there, ladies and gentlemen. You just don't know who you can trust. All right, let's take a quick recess before we continue. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship. You're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. All right, next on the docket. Do you know this guy? Well, you can't really see his face, but maybe you recognize his clothing, his sweater, his pants, shoes. Well, apparently this guy likes to take strolls through people's residence at 1:10 a.m. in the morning while the residents are sleeping. Now, this unidentified burglar took a computer, and guess what? The 45-year-old woman who lives at the residence would like it back. Yeah, she probably really doesn't want it back, but it's the mere fact that somebody came into her house, an apartment complex nonetheless, and came in, took something of value, completely violates her sanctuary, her home. So if you know who this guy is, please contact the Crime Stoppers address there in New York City, 1-800-577-8477. Now, of course, if this suspect is arrested in New York City, he will promptly be given a personal recognizance bond and be released. So I'm not really sure what good it gets. But as some people have said, and I will say it here, if there are no consequences, there are no laws, right? If you can do whatever you want and they say, oh, you violated the law, but there are no consequences, bottom line is that means there's no consequences. There's no law. There's no punishment. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. You get more of what you tolerate. If you tolerate it and think it's okay, you're going to get more of that behavior. It's like dealing with a small child or even a small pet. It's, if you tolerate it, you're going to get more of it. Apparently in New York City, though, they want everybody to tolerate it. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. But before we get there, let's give you our winner from last week. It's a duo. That's right. It can only mean one thing, although we had several contestants who were duos last week. This pair, Tavares McKinney and Kiana Halliburton, that's right. We're going to shoot up the restaurant because my hot and spicy chicken sandwich was damn too hot. Was just too damn spicy. That's right. Too damn spicy. Tavares McKinney and Kiana Halliburton, you are dumb criminal contestant of the day. You each receive a Crime Talk mug. Now, next time you take this to Burger King and your hot and spicy is just a little too spicy, I recommend, obviously, you've got water. I've heard that milk works wonderful for taking away all the hot spices. But don't shoot anybody. And yes, please, please don't throw the mug. All right? Please don't throw the mug. All right. Finally, then on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. He is an unidentified man, hopefully soon to be identified so he can claim his prize. But apparently, he was out walking around the other morning, and he thought it would be good to go into a residence in the state of Washington and do a little laundry. That's right. That's right. The homeowners found him at 4 a.m. doing laundry. Now, when confronted, this unidentified dumb criminal contestant of the day fled. Police ultimately found and arrested him on the charges of burglary. Now, one may have to wonder, and I'm sure his attorney will, is it really burglary if you did not commit or intend to commit a crime therein, that you just wanted to do somebody's dirty laundry? Is that not a gift? Maybe this is just a criminal trespass and not a burglary. No evidence that anything else was in fact stolen. So our unidentified laundry doing burglar, alleged burglar, will maybe get off just a little easier. Who knows? You can't make this stuff up, ladies and gentlemen. Why would somebody break into your house and do your laundry? I wish they would, but maybe just when I'm not there, and maybe I could pay them, because who wants somebody coming into your home without your permission? It's weird, it's creepy, and it violates your privacy, your sanctity of your own home. All right, that's all we have for you today. Please join us for Crime Talk. We start 6 p.m. Mountain Time. We'll see you then.